I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, to be the starter today, I felt like it was the best thing for our team. You know, it would give us the best chance to win. Tyler does some things. You know, he's a talented player. He can make throws. He can do things with his legs. He was a great spark for us, you know, it just felt like the right thing to do. Nothing against Cooper. I mean, Cooper, great, great, great guy and played good football for us. But Tyler was the answer for today's game. We felt like it just wasn't a hard decision. We were planning on doing that throughout the bye week and everything if Lamar couldn't go.
Tyler Huntley over Cooper Rush proved to be a good move, Mike Preston, as you heard John Harbaugh talk about how that went down.
Did he say the quiet part out loud almost? We were planning on doing this when we found out Lamar went down. we were planning on going with Huntley, but, you know, after Lamar went down.
I mean, you had a guy who was just not, he couldn't move. And then you put him in a system where the quarterback always moves. It doesn't add up. But I understand they paid him $6 million to come here and they had to use him. And that's the way the NFL works. You pay a guy, he has to play. And they found out he couldn't, and they went back to Huntley, and it paid off for him.
John Harbaugh's defense gave up 16 points yesterday. He talked about their performance.
Well, Roe, great leader. Roe, Marlon Humphrey, Kyle Hamilton, Kyle Van Noy, other guys, you know, those are the veteran kind of guys. Nate Wiggins, you know, I go after Nate early. Nate steps up and really, really, really put the pedal to the metal and played great football. Up front, we got pressure. We got pressure up front. Got a few sacks. Mike Green got his first sack. But we got pressure. Got him throwing the ball. I mean, the crazy throw at the end. Golly, you know, we've had some plays like that this year, you know. So that was kind of a crazy throw. But we had him on his heels quite a bit, which was good to see. So the defense, they got the first two drives, and we stood up and we held them to field goals. That was massive. Those first two stops where they were moving the ball, kind of had their game plan, had us on our heels with the run and the boots a little bit, and we get two stops in the red zone. That gives us life. Then our offense steps up and goes and makes it 7-6, and now you got a whole new ball game. And I don't think they scored again until maybe the fourth quarter at that point. So I thought our defense was just outstanding.
Along this line,
he was right about holding the field goals. That was huge. But sometimes after the game, Jeremy, John Harbaugh says, I don't know. Let me look. I got to look at the film. I wish you would have looked at the film this time because they didn't get a few sacks. They had one. They didn't get tremendous pressure on the quarterback either. I think the defense as a whole, the results were good, but they didn't quite play the way he said.
Caleb Williams said he was hurried. He felt rushed a little bit.
Second thoughts.
That's the other stat. It's a new stat. my new stat.
By the way,
second thoughts.
I know I say this after every Ravens game with Monday Morning Quarterback. Play me any clip of Harbaugh. I'll tell you if they won or lost. Play me any clip of him. Well, gosh, golly. What? Come on. He's sitting here talking about, you know, how things went in the game and the pressure and how it is. It's amazing after a win how everything's right. But they're going to have a really good chance of stacking W's with the way that the schedule's set up.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that.
And when all this is said and done, you guys can say whatever you want about the cat. He deserves some of the credit if they go on a win streak here.
Oh, he does.
Of course.
I don't give him credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
It's 15-3 after the bye. That's the John Harbaugh thing.
Yeah. And the other part of this, too, is like, I listen to some of these things where he's just pointing out this. Like, he just started naming defensive players. Like, yeah, the defense. Yeah, Kyle Van Noy. Oh, coach, is he on your team? Kyle Hamilton and others. Like, I don't know. I don't know why it irritates me so much when he wins, he's the nicest guy in the world. And when he loses, it's just, we got to look at it.
When the original active roster went out to start the season, we all scratched our heads about the absence of Keaton Mitchell. He had a phenomenal game yesterday. Harbaugh talked about his performance.
Well, we over the bye, we one of our things, and one of the many things we looked at, we said, we got to tag plays for Keaton. You know, we just said we got to do it. You know, I mean, you want to make sure Derek gets his reps and Justice is effective, but we just said we have got to tag plays for Keaton Mitchell and make sure we get him the ball, and that's what we were able to do. I think he got three plays where he got the ball.
Last one, Jeff.
It.
I don't know what to say. Like, you haven't seen him all season. Like, so you
seen him in practice?
You've got. I just don't know what to say sometimes. Like, so you want to get him the ball, but he hasn't been on the active roster. He hasn't been starting, activated on Sundays. I just haven't seen him. And then you put him in, and he does what he does. He's averaging like 10 yards a carry. It's just he's electrifying on the field. So whose decision is it? Like, who is it? Was it the committee?
Was it DaCosta?
Was it the board of directors that he can't play?
I mean, you saw what this guy, like, with all due respect to Justice Hill, and he has a role in this team, you still got to hand him the ball so we know we're not throwing it to him every time he's out there on the field.
Right.
Keaton Mitchell brings something that
nobody else has.
I mean, the only other person that can bring something similar to him is Zay Flowers, but it's a different position. And even though they're going to hand him the ball and try to get him involved in that way, he's so fast and so explosive that he can change field position in one play. So I understand the thought process behind set up a screen for him, get him out in space, you know, do something. There should be some plays designed for a guy that's this good.
The only person who can do what he does is Lamar Jackson.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's it. And when he's not in the lineup and you don't have an outside threat, you got to put him in the game. And you got to just toss to him 3-4 times a game just to keep the defense honest. And I don't know where he's been. I've been talking about this for a couple weeks. And
I mean,
I think everybody has in this town, honestly. Yeah. Yeah. It's been the big discussion is why not?
That's what Mike said. I've been saying it. No one's listening to me. What do you mean no one understood?
Not Preston, the other Mike.
Yeah, the other Mike. Yeah. No one understood why he was not on the roster.
He's right.
We listened to you.
No one has been listening because everybody's saying it. We've been saying it. He said it.
You know, the other thing about this that's frustrating, too, is like this team made a lot of mistakes when you think about it. To start off with Isaiah Likely wasn't ready. And I understand you got to put the caveat in there how big their first few games were. Wasn't ready. Could have kept one of those other players that you let go. At the beginning of the year, we were sitting there saying, man, they cut three guys that were good players that should make most rosters.
Yeah.
And then it comes down to Patrick Ricard. I know you want him back. Again, a couple of games. He's still not ready until after the bye week. That's another body that you could have had there to help you with depth throughout the season. And now this Keaton Mitchell thing. It's like, all right, well, who's making the decisions? Whose fault is it that these things happened?
Mike says no one was listening to him. We will at 7:30 when he gives his report card. But on the other side, offensive and defensive players of the game up next on The Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time for offensive and defensive players of the game. Ed, who do you have?
I'm going with Pat Ricard, honestly. He did exactly what he always does, quietly. He's not on stat sheet anywhere. You know why? Because you don't know what he does unless you really follow him.
Nobody knows.
He sprung some of those long games yesterday. He was sorely missed in the running game. Just glad he's back. And as far as the defensive player of the game, I'm going Nate Wiggins. It wasn't just the pick. That is 180 pounds of fury right there. Like, that guy can hit. He's one of the best cover corners we've ever had, probably.
I got news for you. Roma Dunze is... That's a player, man.
Yes.
That's a really good wide receiver. He gives me God, like Mike Evans vibes and Demaryius Thomas vibes for how big and strong he is, but he can also beat you with his route running. And if you watched it yesterday, it didn't matter if you had Wiggins on him, whoever it was, early on, he was making plays.
Yeah. He's a big dude. He's 6'3". He's like Evans. He's 6'3", 220, like that. Yeah.
Mike, did you have
You think he could be that upper echelon guy, though, with Caleb Williams?
No question.
I like Caleb Williams, but I have questions about him. There's things that I see in his game that I'm like...
Rome came in as a rookie last year with DJ Moore.
Along with him, and
Keenan Allen. I'm just saying, as a rookie wide receiver coming in, and he was clearly the best of the three, you could see the talent. And you know how much I love Keenan. Keenan Allen is, he should teach at some university route running. Just teach it. Like, people come in, hey, what are we learning here? I'm going to show you what we're learning. Because that guy's arguably the best route runner in football. But with maybe Rome picks his brain a little bit there, steals some of what he's doing, the mentorship. But, like, he was showing out last year, and then you know when you have the guy in year two when he takes this type of step forward. So, Rob, did you have an offensive defensive player?
The game yesterday, it's tough. I know he only had 21 carries for 71 yards, but the word that I used earlier, presence. Giving the ball to Derrick Henry 20-plus times establishes your offense in a different way. Giving the ball to Derrick Henry around the goal line to get two touchdowns is what you have to do. This is just not – it's not rocket science. Why you don't give him the ball – is beyond me. He eats up the clock. He does. He beats up the defense. He lets your offensive line go out and get some. So Derrick Henry, despite not having Derrick Henry type stats on the yards, is my play of the game offensively.
He also passed Walt DeBaton yesterday for rushing touchdowns.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty incredible to be in the same, you know, the same conversation with these guys where he's, you know,
he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. And now he's still active. He passed Peyton, he passed Jim Brown, John Riggins, Falk. Barry Sanders. All these guys are behind him now in rushing touchdowns.
What about you, Mike? You got an offensive defensive player?
Zay Flowers. You know what they do with him? Seven catches. What do you have? 63 yards. And those jet screens, they bring him around. I think he can do a lot of damage there. And they use him in motion, which kind of keeps the defense on the heels a little bit. And then my defensive player game, Kyle Hamilton. I wonder if he's going to last the entire season playing up near the line of scrimmage.
He was everywhere.
I mean,
injury, wear and tear.
Yes, yeah, because he still has a safety body. I mean, what's he weigh, 220? And I saw him up there near the line of scrimmage. He's taking on the tight ends and so forth. And
rushing, like, the quarterback. Yeah. He's in there and every
tackle.
Had one
quarterback hit. Yeah. Can you last the entire year? And he's already broken down a couple times early in the season. But can he do it up near the line of scrimmage? I don't know, but I thought he played well yesterday.
So my offensive and defense, like, I almost want to give the offensive player to Caleb Williams for not converting on third down, so that kicker had to come out and miss a field goal so everyone gets chicken nuggets today from McDonald's. That's not what I'm going to do, because there's no special team player of the game. I can't tie it in that way.
Mike will find a way.
My offensive player of the game of the line, Mike. How do you like that? No, I'm going to... You know what? You talked about Zay Flowers, and justifiably so. I thought Rashad Bateman had a couple of, like, that one where he went down and caught the ball and bails out Huntley under duress. Yeah. I mean, we could sit here and point out Huntley's the guy that has to be pointed out for how he played. But on the defensive side, I just hat tip to Marlon Humphrey, man. Everybody's been, and I get it, he deserves it, talking a lot of trash about him, how he's a distraction, all the other stuff he's doing. He wants to be a joker. He was sick this week, right? He missed some time. He wasn't going to play. That play that he made in the heads-up play, that looked like the old fruit punch right there, ripping the ball away from the receiver going to the ground. Mm-hmm. I still want the league to say something about that play and let us know what it should have been. Because
What's the real call? Are they ever going to make one?
You can't have forward progress if you haven't made it a reception yet.
Yeah, they said it was a catch and forward progress.
Uh-huh.
And if it was a catch, it was a catch when he secured the ball on his back.
I'm keeping that on my phone if I'm another NFL head coach, and I'm going to challenge a play and go, oh, no. He caught the ball. He got 2 feet down. His forward progress was stopped when he got hit. You know, that's not an incomplete pass. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's terrible.
410-583-1057 is the number. Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good morning, man.
Good. Happy Monday, guys.
Happy Monday, man.
If Lamar Jackson remains out, how confident should the Ravens be with Tyler Huntley at quarterback? Have a wonderful day, guys.
You have a wonderful day, too. I think it all depends on the opponent. I think if they have to use him again against Miami, he'll be fine. But I think it all depends on the opponent.
I think he's playing. I think Lamar's playing.
I think that's already been decided. Like, look, I'm not trying to be Mr. Conspiracy Theorist, and Mike, you know way more about this than me. Just looking from the outside, reading the tea leaves, I think they knew this was going down all along. I think they knew he was starting on Thursday. And now I think it's a lock that he started unless there's some sort of setback at practice.
I agree with you. I think they absolutely knew. I don't know what the hell was going on with the injury report. And
totally. The practice going on. And, the NBA just did something yesterday, guys. What are you doing? You can't do this.
Yeah.
I mean, the NBA just the Thursday does this and Friday. Come on, man. Graziano said Tuesday Lamar wasn't going to play.
I think it was Rappaport.
Rappaport said it also.
Okay, so they both did. That he said, Rappaport said, I think from what I'm hearing, Lamar's more than likely to start on Tuesday. Then we saw him at practice, and everybody's like, man, what's he know? Nobody even talked about that report. And then the other part of this, too, is you're telling me you had 2 weeks to get ready for this team, and then Huntley just found out Saturday before the game he was starting? Like, is that real? Like, I understand the Lamar thing if you're waiting on that, and that's what you want, but you weren't prepping him the entire time Lamar's not at practice to be your guy?
So let me ask you a question. How long does it take a hamstring injury to heal?
I mean, that's, but this is subjective too. Like, I get it. I would normally say,
depends.
I would normally say 4 to 6 weeks unless it's very severe. But again, you come back too soon, 4 to 6 weeks turns into 12.
Yeah. I think that all depends. Let's go to East Baltimore and get Larry. What's up, Larry?
Boy, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
They was panicking. The Ravens still can win the division. I told everybody Pittsburgh go falling apart. They're going to lose against who their next opponent, the Colts, going to be. And the Ravens beat Miami on a game back. Yeah. Pittsburgh a joke. You have a nice day.
You too, man.
Larry don't play around.
No. It's right to the point.
They
like
don't
that.
Play
like
around,
that.
Man. How you doing, Bam? What do you state your business.
Do you guys know the line for Thursday?
What is it?
What would you guess?
7.
In favor of who?
Ravens.
Of course. Ravens are -7.
Yeah. I did not look at it.
Short week. Your quarterback hasn't played.
It's really 7?
It's 7. Yeah.
7.
7.
7.
7.
7?
Yeah, 7.
Damn. Yeah. How did I get that one right? I thought I was going overboard.
Interesting, because as a road team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On a short week.
So that means they're 9-point.
And it's 10-point favorites. 10-point favorites. Really, yeah.
And by the way, the total's 47.5.
Go over.
Yeah.
Go over.
Guys, I'm just going to tell you now.
Ravens will score 30-something.
I give out some freebies there. Go over. Over that number.
Oh, my God. 410-583-1057. That's the number.
They can't stop the run.
And use that for 745 because that's fan reaction. Want to hear from you. But on the other side, the professor is in. Mike Press's report card up next on The Fan. It's the segment that I wait for Monday Morning Quarterback every week. Mike Preston freaking report card.
Yes.
Giving grades like my English teacher did.
Yes, indeed.
Quarterback Tyler Huntley. You said he was meh. It looks like his grade reflection.
I gave him a C+. You know,
he gave him a C+, Ed.
Of course. He had 17 of 22 for 186 yards. He had a quarterback rating of 116.9. I like what they did with them with the draws and the outside and the plays there. But I know who he played. I know he played the Bears. All right. So with that said and being said, and my preface for whatever I want to do because it's my report card, you got a C+. There you go.
How does a man with a 116.9 passer rating get a C+?
Oh, that's the same way when they would ask me, like, Lamar Jackson, he had a 147 point, whatever, quarterback rating. He was perfect. No, he wasn't.
Mike, why don't you tell his ass to stop tagging gas stations that are long and write his own damn report card?
I told him that all the time.
There's one on the BW Parkway now north.
I don't know how he did it. I thought Tupac got around. Look at this guy.
I'm coming home here. I said, like,
hey, how long? How the hell do
color?
You, how does he have time to do all this with three freaking jobs?
I got them in different areas, cool. They do it for me.
Are long.
Running backs.
I gave them a C+ to Derrick Henry.
Well, damn, Mike's going to be tagging C+ all around town. Like, that's Preston. I know.
71 yards, 121 attempts. I like what they did with Keith Mitchell. They finally gave him the ball, had some tosses, and got outside. So they get a C+. Nothing spectacular. But I love again, I know who they play.
That's like, again, your English professor saying, I like what you did with this paper, the way you put things together. Here's a C+. You like it? That's what you get when you like it?
Yeah, I liked it, so you got the plus.
I know who they played. I always keep it in mind, like, they played the Bears. They're not a great football.
They just won 4 in a row, though, Mike. I'm
on your side. So
offensive line, Mike.
See, they were okay. They rushed for 177 yards and won 35 carries, but
5 yards a carry.
Yeah, but going into the game, Rob, the Bears were giving up 137 yards rushing a game,
and they had 177, so they did better. They did better.
They
than
had
average.
One of the worst run defenses in the National Football League. They gave up 137. Do you give up 137 yards a game rushing?
And last night, yesterday, they gave up 177.
You stink. All right?
Receivers.
They stuck. Receivers. See, you know, Zay Flowers, 7 catches, 63 yards. Andrews, 3 catches for 34 yards. They complemented the running game. All right? But it wasn't overwhelming where you got to say, oh, we got to shut them down. And. The Bears were without their 2 starting cornerbacks. That makes a difference.
See, and I thought, wasn't last segment pick your offensive and defensive MVP?
Yeah.
Mike must have heard MVC because he gave it to Zay Flowers, and now he's giving his ass a C.
No, I gave Zay Flowers. I told him he was good, but then the rest of them. Defensive line. I thought those guys played okay.
Did they get a C?
Of course.
Average ass team.
96 yards rushing on 23 carries. I'll take that.
That's
CJ,
good.
CJ Coyier, John Jenkins. Again, the Bears. See.
All right. Linebackers.
Linebackers. See. All right.
See?
Nothing great there. And I know everybody's, oh, Roquan, he played great game, 12 tackles. Get out of here.
Secondary.
It's okay. Secondary. See, that's just who they played. And they can't get pressure. So you can have whoever you want back there. You're only going to turn in a halfway performance. And, Rob, let me remind you of this. How many times did you keep seeing guys get open across the middle again?
I did.
And you're just like,
I'm not arguing that great.
Man, that's.
I'm not debating that great. Okay, we could do this for you. Hey, guys. Special teams. Let's say it together. C.
Hold on. I thought that one was getting an A. No. C.
C.
No way, man. I mean, rookie Tyler Loop, field goal was 42, 28, 32 yards. I was surprised they didn't go for that 157 yards.
I don't think they
want to
get
this
head. Yeah, I don't think they want to get this
head. So he was 3 for 3 and got a C?
Yes. Okay. I mean, he was okay, but they gave up like 49 yards to Devin Duvernay on that return. Oh.
He knows the turf.
But this is where he's right about. Like, we're all joking about the kicker, but it comes down to the returns and what you're giving up.
I have no debate over the secondary and special teams grade. None.
You have debate over everything else?
Everything else I do, yeah. everything else.
All right. And,
coaching.
See. I was okay with Monken's game plan. At least he took some opportunities to go deep, kind of spread things out. Ran Mitchell and some pitches and tosses. And then they did the gut running up front with Derrick Henry. So, but Zach Orr, I keep seeing the same thing over and over again. So they get a C.
Monday morning quarterback exclusive. This is not in the sun. How was the food yesterday, Mike? What do you give that?
Food. C.
Hey, Mike.
It was seafood.
I have a quick question. Do you speak any Spanish? Do you know the Spanish term for yes?
No.
Si.
What can't Ray Charles do?
I'm not going to do that.
Come on, man.
Same thing as Stevie Wonder.
We were talking about him on Friday, how Dr. Dre said he called me at 3 in the morning. Like, Stevie, do you know what to... Oh, never mind. You don't know what to do.
Oh, that's messed up, man.
Oh, my God.
410-583-1057 is the number. Speaking of Dr. Dre, what's the comedian that talks like Trump all the time?
Oh, that was Godfrey.
You see Godfrey and Dr. Dre in the studio?
No. Godfrey has so many good imitations that he does.
Godfrey does Trump. Yeah. He's NWA.
No, he did. Negroes with attitudes.
He's a Negro with an attitude, a good one.
So good, man.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. On this Monday, we call it Monday Morning Quarterback, and the Baltimore Ravens went 30-16 over the Chicago Bears yesterday. Folks, if you were happy about it, Mike Preston says, don't be happy because they were just the Bears.
Yeah, but I did say they needed a win, and they got one. Didn't we start from here? Because you got to win one game before you go on a streak. You just have to. And until they kept yapping about it and talking about it, you got to show up. And they showed up. So that's what counts.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I busted chops about it, but there was nothing extraordinary and fascinating about that win yesterday other than the results. You're right. I mean, I thought Tyler Huntley played within the system. I think his offensive coordinator finally did not get cute inside the red zone on the goal line. What did he do? He ran his Hall of Fame running back to do what he does better than most who ever, more people than ever played this game. Only a few have done it better than him. That's get touchdowns. So I thought they were very complimentary of him in order to put him in positions to win.
I brought up, too, like talking about Monken and some of the other things. There were a bunch of plays in that game where I was doing the no, yes, that it worked out. I still don't understand when the clock is your friend and you're up two scores, why you're throwing the ball on first down. And it's not a perfect science. You're not going to come in and run it every single time, but it feels like they do that so much. Am I off in that?
No. Clock management. In the first half, it was like 2:15 left in the first half, and the Ravens just let the clock run, and then they ended up eliminating a timeout for themselves, and they wasted one. I'm like, guys, can't you get this right? Why can't they ever do this? They just do things backwards the time.
Can I ask this question? Do you guys feel like they make the run? That we're talking week 16, week 17, week 18 with them in the playoff picture? You think they're back?
Yeah. 9-2. I said it. 9-2.
Yeah. I've said that before yesterday's win. I think that looking at the schedule, looking at the injury report that they've had, it's jokes aside, yeah, they were decimated, and that should count for something. I mean, the team was absolutely decimated. I mean, we're going to point out the Bears' corners being out. The Ravens lost like 7 All-Pros from the start. 7. It's ridiculous. And now they're going to be back. Ricard's back. Lamar's going to be back. Ronnie looked good yesterday. Ronnie was leading. He was running, leading blocks.
Oh, I got scared
of him when
he got hurt. I was like, what is it?
You know,
who? Ronnie, Stanley.
And I just think now, once they're healthy, it's a very talented team, and the schedule gets soft at the end of the year.
It does, but the other thing with this is, you know, they have to be, I don't question them winning games with the one caveat if they stay healthy or as healthy as you can the rest of the way. I agree with what Mike's talking about. I want to see if Kyle Hamilton's going to, he's doing a lot of that monster back and staying up close near the line of scrimmage. They have him doing everything. Does that body hold up doing this role? Because the one thing that we're all going is, they're healthy. Lamar's back. Well, you got to stay healthy now.
Right. The good, the bad, the ugly at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, fan reaction. Want to hear from you. 410-583-1057. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Monday Morning Quarterback on the Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
He's, I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to take your calls, 410-583-1057. Let's go to Baltimore and get Trippy. What's up, Trippy?
Hello.
Hey, hello. What's going on with y'all, man?
What's up, man?
I'm coming from yesterday, man. Look, Hey, it was great, man. I agree with Mike, man. Raven fans, we can't get too hype, but hey, Mike, it just feels good to get a win, man.
Yep, that's what I said. Just get one.
Hey, but look, I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna make this quick and simple, right? Man, look, we got 10 games left. You know what I told them guys? We want to know. We got 10 more to go. Hello, lock in, and let's do what we gotta do, man. Cause we still can win that division. Oh, and one more thing, bro. Look, this is what I got going on, right? Hear me out. I got the Patriots winning the East, right? The Ravens going to win the North. Guess who's coming down? Wild card weekend. Bills Mafia. I pray to God that happened so we can put belt the ass to them and they can stop talking about week one. Hey, man, y'all have a great day. Ed, man.
Yes, sir.
Great to see you back, Ed, man.
Good to hear from you, man.
Hey, by the way, Trippy, Mike said that was a great call. I gave you a C on that call. It was a C phone call. Great call.
See Sean in Baltimore. What's up, Sean?
Hey, good morning, fellas. And welcome back, Ed.
Thanks, man.
I got some questions for you, but I'm going to save it later on in the week about that Losa Nostra stuff, man.
Losa Nostra? You been talking to Losa Nostra?
I mean, La Cosa Nostra?
No, yeah. But the mafia stuff been going on last week. Because I know at one of Ed's events, like one of these guys he introduced me to.
Hey,
like,
Rashawn.
Part of it, so Italian guy.
Rashawn, let's stay on point. What's on your mind?
So what about Losa Nostra? Was the...
We'll talk about that later on in the week.
But, I'm gonna mess it up.
Yeah, big win yesterday. And I'm sorry for all the Cooper Rush hype, man. I really thought the guy was that guy, man. But
we understand. You also thought the Cowboys were good, so yeah.
Hey, we was once upon a time. Hey,
yeah, 1991. Right?
Did you see his post on social media? I told Rob at the beginning of the year it's my last year as a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, he pissed the video and it's me asking him questions.
Yeah, that was Rob in Toronto, videotaping me without my consent.
You're in an abusive relationship with the Cowboys, man.
And without your consent, so you put it on social media.
Yeah, how about that? Hey, so Lamar, is he going to be 100% for Thursday? And if not, are we confident that Huntley can, start for us Thursday?
Someone told me he was 100%. Someone told me he was 100% for yesterday. So I'm assuming.
Really?
That's not what you said, Mike?
Oh, hey, hey.
Wait a minute. How did I get involved in this?
I thought I saw him under the bus. Jeez.
I think it was the public relations staff.
Yeah, they're the ones that had those extra padded practices and had rookies there longer than they're supposed to be.
Antoine in Westminster. What's up, Antoine?
Hey, guys. Good morning, man. It felt great to get a home win yesterday. I was at the game, had great seats. So one thing I saw yesterday that I haven't seen like this before, there was a ton of communication coming from Rowe and Hamilton. Man, they were just communicating with everybody. So I love to see that. I'm not sure if that's something new that they've started or what, but to see all the communication in the field was great. And also, man, how we are using D-Hop, this guy's a specialist. And I know people are saying he's not who he used to be, but every time we call his number, he always come through, whether it's a big first down or a touchdown. I love how we're using him.
Mike just literally said that during the commercial break. Like every time he's on the field, he makes a big play.
Yeah. I think we're going to win out, and I project we will win the Super Bowl. We back. Okay. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my sister, Kim, who has managed to listen and still tell me what to do at the same time while she's listening.
What'd she tell you to do? Well, then do it. Shut up and do it.
Yeah, Rob.
Buffalo Zoe. What's up, Buffalo Zoe?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Man,
listen,
you saw the bat signal? You saw the bat signal?
Yeah, he heard Buffalo.
Hey, listen, the bat signal was up when I heard Trippy, man. And Trippy, man, listen, nobody ain't worrying about y'all right now, man. Listen.
You got your own worries.
I ain't even got to brag, man. My worries is my OC better call a game like he did yesterday. He don't know we're a running team, man. The passing just comes, natural. We a run team, man.
You were playing the Panthers. Mike, what do you give Buffalo Bills performance yesterday against the Panthers?
C.
There you go.
Good, man. That's all I can say. Cook was cooking. You have a good one.
Hey, that means you guys are playing great. Mike gives you a C.
And see you later, man.
Hey, Jeremy.
Yeah.
It's Marcus in Baltimore.
Marcus. Darling.
So you're saying there's a chance. That's all I can see right now. So you're saying there's a chance. So my wife's father is...
Your father-in-law, man. Just say your father-in-law.
My father-in-law. There you go. So me, him, and my father all in one football group text. And like a couple weeks ago, he was like, King of the North. Steelers, King of the North. Now he's like, y'all can have the North because the Steelers can't stop a running nose. I'm like, so you're saying there's a chance then, huh? Yeah. Look, you know, when Lamar comes back, and as long as Falele is not out on the field, I think we got a chance. Y'all have a good day.
You have a good day, too. I'll be honest with you. My concern about the AFC North, Mike, it's not the Steelers. It's the Ravens. I'm not worried about the Steelers. I'm worried about can the Ravens do? Because the Steelers, like every year, reality catches up with them. Reality, can they get out to a hot start? Everybody, oh, man, you better watch out. You better watch out. Yeah, but at the beginning of the season, coaching really kicks in and takes over.
Yep.
And at the end of the season, in the postseason, coaching takes over. But there's that point in the season where you are who you are. And coaching can't put lipstick on a pig but so much. And right now, the Steelers are finding out they are who they are.
Right.
So when, in terms of winning the AFC North, I'm worried about the Ravens. I couldn't care less about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And that makes sense. It's very logical. I mean, and they always fold. The Steelers always fold down the stretch. And it will happen again because they got a lot of veterans on that team, mm-hmm. and it starts getting cold, and they want to, hey, let's go. We're not going to the show. We're not going to the big game. And even with the Ravens, you don't know because you look at the teams they played so far, they've lost to all the elite teams.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wondering, even if they get to the playoffs, are they going to be that good? Or are they going to be any good? I don't know. But that's why you go through the season. That's the fun part about it.
Game balls at 8:15, but on the other side, Ed Norris, you're good. Mike Preston, you're bad. Jeremy Kahn.
Am I good this week?
No.
I'm ugly.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Monday Morning Quarterback on The Fan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.